The prophesied one. The one who was told was coming in the Old Testament scriptures and who came and fulfilled it completely. Jesus, who walks on water, raises the dead, heals the lame and the sick, hangs on a cross, takes away your sins on the cross, dies, and yet the prophecy says that the Lord will see his offspring and prolong his days. Well, how do you prolong days for somebody who dies? Answer, the prophecy of the resurrection, and Jesus comes up out of the grave. And he fulfills all these 700 years after they were written. Okay, that's who he is. What does that mean for your life and mine today? The coming up of Christ. People, welcome to the second Sunday after Easter, right? So Jesus comes up out of the grave, and for 40 days he showed himself to his disciples. And actually, as he's in Jerusalem, he tells his disciples, I want you to head out to Galilee and go to Galilee, and I'm going to meet you there. And in Galilee, we're going to have a very important meeting. It's like an all-disciples staff meeting. I don't know, right? So Jesus calls a meeting. And in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, it records that meeting, right? And I just want to walk through that meeting today with you a little bit and kind of how that meeting applies to our lives. So just enter in, okay? Here we go. In 28:16, it says this. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, right? Going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Who called this meeting? The when and the where? Yep. Jesus calls this meeting, right? And by the way, this is a huge meeting. He scheduled this meeting. Hey, the board meets the third Tuesday of every month here at Woodbridge. Every Tuesday we have a staff meeting. You know, Jesus is calling an all-staff meeting, and it's a really big meeting, right? So far, so good. So check out verse 17. So 28:17, when they saw him, so they go to this meeting, they worshiped him, but some of them, say it with me, some of them what? They doubted. Stop here for a moment. Think with me for a moment. Does that sound weird to you? They doubted? See, I totally get this. He comes up out of the grave in Jerusalem, right? He shows himself to them in Jerusalem. Then he calls this board meeting in Galilee, and it's 76 miles away, and they don't have a car. Do you know how they got there? They walked. It's at least 2.5 days that they're walking from Jerusalem to Galilee. And as they're walking, some of them started going, I think this doesn't happen. I'm hallucinating. I'm seeing things. Am I crazy? And they had 2 days to try to process what they saw in Jerusalem, right? And it says some of them started doubting. And for any of you that know the Bible, can you guess what one of their names might be? Thomas. I love Thomas, don't you? Doubting Thomas. He's just the Eeyore of the bunch, right? So Thomas is probably back there going, and maybe he started convincing one or two other going, yeah, maybe you're right, right? Is doubting okay? People, doubting is okay. But look, they voted with their feet. They were doubting, but they still showed up to the meeting. They were doubting, but they kept moving with their feet. Is it okay to doubt? Hey, if you're on your spiritual journey with Jesus and you're doubting, do you know what that's called? Normal. You're normal. But keep moving. In your doubting, keep voting with your feet. In your doubting, just like those disciples, keep asking questions. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. This is our faith. If you're on your spiritual journey and you're doubting, you are normal. Welcome. The disciples are there and they're doubting, but they kept moving. They kept looking. They kept searching. They kept seeking and asking and knocking. And isn't that what the rabbi says to do? Seek, ask, and knock, and you will find. Jesus says this. If you're here today and you're doubting, Welcome. Glad you're here. Your feet, you voted with your feet this morning and you're at church. Praise God. Welcome to the journey. It's normal. And I love it because even when they get there, and there he is, up on the mountain, probably Mount Arbel. Come with me to Israel someday if their wars ever start. On the Sea of Galilee, Jesus meets them out there in the Sea of Galilee, and they showed up. And it's so funny because they're worshiping. And what, 10 of them are worshiping, or 8 of them are, and the other 2 are just sitting there, 3 just shaking their heads, just going, I just can't believe this. They were doubting, but they're there. I love it. I love it. It's so good. Pastor Frank, how much faith is enough? Enough faith to keep moving. Mustard seed faith, right? Keep moving, people. Keep moving. So they're up on the mountain. At this moment, you guys think about it. Jesus had their full undivided attention. At this moment, he could have chose to talk about anything, and they would have been listening completely, right? So there they are. Now we're in Galilee. Now what? And this is what he says. And Jesus came and told them, verses 18 through 20, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That's last week's sermon. If you didn't want to know what that means, check out last week's message. The authority of Jesus. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. It's called the Great Commission. It's the commander's marching orders to his disciples. It's their calling. It's his mission for them, right? This is a really important board meeting. I want you just to think with me for a moment. This is a really important board meeting. It's the commissioning of Jesus to his followers, and this board meeting ripples through millennia and into this room and into our lives. At this church, I don't get to pick our mission statement because Jesus already did. Amen? And what is Jesus' mission statement to his followers? Take notes with me this morning. Just write these down and stir it in this week. Here's note number 1. He's been given all authority. Just wants to let him know this. I have authority to send you, okay? Last week's message. Jesus, the kenosis, the emptying, he's back glorified. That's what he wants. He's God in human flesh. His mission on the cross is over. He's picked up his divine attributes. All power and authority is his. And now he sends us. Go make disciples. Right? And what is a disciple? Last week, a disciple who recognizes the authority of Jesus and submits to the authority of Jesus over their life. Are you a disciple? Do you recognize who Jesus is? Anybody that comes up out of the grave, you need to listen to. They're smarter than you. They're more powerful than you. And Jesus calls you to follow him. A disciple is someone who recognizes the authority and submits the authority of Jesus in their life. It's a believer, a receiver, a follower of the teaching of Jesus. We're a follower of the one who come up out of the grave, right? Go make these people. And when you make them, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that we just did that, right? A couple weeks ago. Jesus says, teach them, baptize them, teach them. People, behold the mission of Jesus. Does it seem simple? Simple? We got this, right? I want to say this again, read this again. As I read it, I need to ask you to think, what is the subject of the mission statement? What and who is this mission all about? Go make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've taught you. Is the subject about going? Is the subject about making disciples? Is the subject about baptizing? Is the subject about teaching? Who are we going to? Who are we making disciples of? Who are we baptizing? Who are we teaching? What is the subject of the mission statement? And here's the most missed word in the mission statement: them. Who are we going to? Them. Who are we making disciples of? Them. Who are we baptizing? Them. Who are we teaching? Them. The whole mission is about, say it with me, ready? Them. The subject is them. That's a note for you. Write this down. Note number 5. The mission of the church is them. Okay. So who's them? Who's them? Anybody who, according to Jesus, is not us. So who's us? Up on that mountain, there's Jesus and his disciples. Jesus and his disciples are us. And anybody who's not us is them. That seems simple, doesn't it? In this moment, up on that mountain, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Worthy us, and everybody who's not us, according to Jesus, is? Are you with me so far? Makes sense, right? Anybody who's not of this category is them. Jesus' mission statement is for us, disciples of Jesus, to go make disciples of them, the world. Do you think this is what the disciples of Jesus wanted to hear? Did you know this is not what they wanted? This is so fun to read in the scriptures. So they're up in Galilee, and he tells them this, and they're really quiet, okay? And then he says, and by the way, it's 40 days. He appeared to them over 40 days and to over 500 people. I mean, it's so cool. They're back at, so then 76 miles back to Jerusalem. 2.5 days at least. And what's going through their mind? More questions. In Acts chapter 2, they're back in Jerusalem, and now they're ready to question his mission to them. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. So now they're back, 76 miles back. Listen to this. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They're pushing back a little bit, right? Your messianic kingdom, ruling Messiah on earth, Psalm 2, right? The ruling of Messiah, pray that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, when's your kingdom on earth happening? So they're asking questions about the messianic kingdom, right? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his authority. He's telling him, wait. Remember that prayer? When we pray, it's a yes or a no, or sometimes it's just wait. Not now. He doesn't say it's not happening. He says, I'm not telling you. Not now, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, right? So in Jerusalem, they're pushing back a little bit. They're asking questions about his physical kingdom coming to earth. And he tells them, no, it's not happening now, right? And then he gives them a little bit more information on the Great Commission. He begins telling them that the Holy Spirit's coming inside of him, and he gets real specific. Not just go make disciples of all the nations. He says, start in Jerusalem, and then Judea, that's the region. It's like Irvine, Orange County. That's how you look at it, okay? And then Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So Jesus repeats the mission statement, and then gives them a little bit more insight. Repeats Matthew 28, and gives a little bit more detail. They want him to set up his kingdom, and he tells them to go into all the world. They were not on the same page. Do you guys see that? Wouldn't you rather just have Jesus come back today instead of go tell the world about Christ? Which one would you prefer? See, here's the problem. There were still prophecies of Messiah that needed to be fulfilled even after Jesus came up out of the grave. Anyone ever read Genesis? Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. That's the Jewish people. There's a lot of them, isn't there? And in the sand and the seashore, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. The messianic prophecy is that from the Jewish people, all the nations of the earth are blessed. That's Genesis. What's the last book of the Bible say in Revelation? They're singing about the Messiah. And they sang a new song saying to Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from where? Every tribe and language and nation and people, right? Look at us in this room. See, the prophecy was that Messiah is not just for the Jewish people. Aren't you going to set up the Jewish kingdom right now? Jesus says, no, I'm not going to do that. Because there's still messianic prophecies that need to be fulfilled about me. People, Isaiah 9, 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in darkness or distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations. Along the Sea of Galilee, Jews and non-Jews lived together. And guess where Jesus started his ministry? Right there. First to the Jews, and then he went to the other side. You ever read in the Gospels? Then they go to the other side where the pigs are. Bacon-wrapped shrimp, not kosher. Right? It's the other side. The Messiah comes for the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people. Look at Isaiah 49:6. He says, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob? God the Father speaking to the Son. And to bring back those of Israel I have kept. Here's the prophecy. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles. And my salvation may reach to the ends of the... This is the prophecy of Messiah 700 years before Jesus was born. The Messiah will bring salvation to the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people. If you're not Jewish, would you please raise your hand? So the Messiah came for you too. Rabbi Feldman, we have a Messianic Jewish congregation. I love when Rabbi Feldman says, my Jesus is for you people too. As a Jew, he says this. Most Jews think, well, the Jesus is for the Gentiles. No, he's first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles, right? This is the prophecy. You guys, I'm a Gentile because I'm not. I'm a Gentile who's given my life to following a Jewish rabbi who I believe is the Messiah. I'm a disciple, right? 2,000 years ago, this part of the prophecy of Jesus still had to be fulfilled. And guess who's going to fulfill it for him? His disciples. And when the disciples first heard this in their minds, they must have blown them away. Imagine Peter and Andrew and James and John looking at each other. And there's Thomas going, well, we'll never do it. Right? So Jesus, let me get this straight. Okay, so you want us to tell everyone in Jerusalem about you. No problem. Judea. Might take a few years. No problem. Samaria, don't really like them. They're half-breeds. They're half-Jews. But we'll go. No problem. The ends of the earth? this might take some time. Right? We're going to need some help, Jesus, if you want us to go to the ends of the earth. Praise God for this Holy Spirit that you're talking about. So glad to hear that you have all authority in heaven on earth, because I think we're going to need it for this mission statement, right? But then there they are, and they're looking at, he's got the nailed scar hands, he's up from the grave. What are you going to do? Tell him no? Okay. Okay, Jesus, let's do this. And they did. And there's a book in the Bible that records them going about doing this. Do you know what book it is? It's the book of Acts. The book of Acts is them. It's the recording of them going, okay. It's an amazing book in the Bible that tells the story of how the disciples of Jesus took Jesus to them in Jerusalem, took Jesus to them in Judea, Jesus took them to Samaria, they took Jesus to them in Turkey. They took Jesus to them in Greece. They took Jesus to them in Rome. And who's the them? Jesus says, anybody who's not us, go to them. Who's the them? The them is anybody who's not us. Jesus says, well, the us is you and me. I need you to go tell the world what I've done for them. I need you to go to the world and tell the world what I've done for them. So go make disciples of them. And when they accept, baptize them. Do you know what? You know what baptism is? It's a really beautiful ceremony of celebrating when somebody goes from them to becoming a what? An us. That's what baptism is. It's a ceremony. Christian baptism is a ceremony of celebrating that one of them became one of us. Go make disciples. And when you do that, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them. Follow, you know, this is the mission. The book of Acts is all about Jesus is us going to them. And the disciples do it. It's a wonderful book. Peter in Jerusalem in Acts 2, he stands up at the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. There's all these people in Jerusalem at the time. It's a beautiful Jewish holiday. And Jesus stands up and preaches to a bunch of them about Messiah in Acts 2. And after he's done with his sermon, 2,000 of them become us, right? And then he baptizes them in the mikvahs. You can go to the Southern Steps. It's so cool to go there. You can see where they baptized. And the church was born. The church, this Jesus community, right? And then it's so cool when you read Acts. It's just this journey of them in Jerusalem and then in Judea. When you read the book of Acts, there's this beautiful cycle of the Holy Spirit moving. And then there'll be some kind of external persecution. And then the Holy Spirit moves. And then there's some kind of internal problems within the body of Christ. Did you know that sometimes Christians fight against each other? Is that possible? It happens. It's all there. And then the Holy Spirit moves, and there's these cycles of God's moving and external persecutions and God moving and internal problems and God moving and all the way through. Human beings, flawed human beings, telling the world about Jesus and what Jesus has done for them, fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. Right? Acts is a wonderful book. It's like a freeway, and the off-ramps are the epistles. If you ever open the Bible and you just see there's all these epistles, and they're letters to churches at Ephesus or the churches at Philippi or to churches in Galatia, and all they are is, when you read the book of Acts, you'll see as the gospel is being spread and churches are planted, Paul's writing letters to churches. and instructing them on how to follow Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. So that's all that your New Testament is. It's the Gospels, it's the four portraits of Jesus and what he did for you. And then there's Acts that shows this is how the disciples took the Great Commission. And then the epistles are just letters written to these Jesus communities. That's most of your New Testament. Right? It's pretty cool. The book of Acts is awesome. I want to encourage you to read it. Why? Because it'll bless you. It'll encourage you. What's the sermons that we're supposed... What's the message we're supposed to give people? Read the book of Acts. There's all these different sermons in the book of Acts. They're powerful. Look at... We'll talk about Peter's sermon in the Southern Steps in Jerusalem. How are we supposed to do cross-cultural ministry? Okay, we're taking a Jewish Jesus to non-Jewish people. What's that supposed to look like? Read the book of Acts. Cultures. Did you notice that there's a lot of cultures in the world? Different foods. Different cultural foods, different languages. Within the confines of Scripture, culture's neither right nor wrong, it's just different. But how do you take Jesus to different cultures and worlds? The book of Acts is filled with this stuff. What does it look like with the Holy Spirit coming on us? Read the book of Acts. How do we deal with civil disobedience? Read the book of Acts. How do we deal with external persecutions? Read the book of Acts. How do we deal with internal problems within the body of Christ? Read the book of Acts. It's all there. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book about the early Christians taking Jesus to them. And here's the catch. Was Jesus calling in Matthew 28 just for them? Or is it for you? Did you know that all power and authority is upon his life, upon you, this second Sunday after Easter? Jesus calling on them is the same calling for us today. Do I hear an amen? Do you like hearing that? Pastor Frank, I don't want to do that. Maybe he'll come back today. Yeah, he might. The same calling that he had for them is the same calling for us. It's the same mission statement from Jesus, people until he returns, which might be closer than some of us think, right? Did you know the world looks just like the way Jesus said it was supposed to look before he came back? Matthew 24, Luke 21. It's freaky what's happening in the world. Did you know that Jesus says that there's birth pains of plagues? A plague is a contagious disease. Does anyone remember, like, 4 years ago, what were we doing again? Remember we couldn't even buy toilet paper? Now we can't afford toilet paper. Is the world changing? You know, Messiah says that there'll be wars and rumors of wars in the Middle East. And they'll be saying, peace, peace, there'll be no peace. Did anyone watch the news lately? Did you know the Jewish people are back in their homeland after 2,000 years, as Jesus said it would be? The nation of Israel's reborn? All of this is like chess. And there's pieces on the chessboard being moved. And Jesus describes what the board would look like before he comes. And you look at our world right now, it's happening. But his mission statement to you and me is the same no matter what we see. As a matter of fact, as we see what's going on, it should make us have more of an urgency to tell them about what Jesus has done for them. Do I hear an amen? The church is not a building that we sit in, people. It's a movement that we choose to become a part of. You don't come to church. You are the church. And we're here to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus, which is just a modern way of saying go make disciples. Our mission is to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. It's why we're here. It's God's calling for our lives. And it's really not complicated. You know, the word it says, as you go. In the Greek, it's not go. As Jesus spoke it says, as you go, go make disciples. As you walk, as you live your life, remember the armor of God, the shoes of the gospel of peace, as you bring peace, blessed are the peacemakers, that's you, the world needs more of you. As you walk with the shoes of the gospel of peace in your life, as you go, tell people about me. That's your job. Tell people about me. I love it when Jesus gave the parable of the soils and the seed. Jesus says, I'd scatter. What I'm doing is I'm scattering seed. It's like a farming term, you know. He says, the seed is the word of God, and let's see where it grows. You're to scatter seed. Go. Go. Walk. As you go, tell people about the gospel of peace. Tell them about Jesus and what Jesus did for them. It's your calling. Matthew 28 is God's plan to change the world. Matthew 28 is God's plan to change the world, to bring light into darkness, to bring love into hate, to bring truth into lies, to bring healing into brokenness, to bring hope into despair, Jesus. Amen? Pastor Frank, I'm really not looking forward to this year. I thought last year was bad with Ukraine and the wars, and now we're entering this year, and now we still have the war in Ukraine, and now we've got the things happening in the Middle East. And Pastor Frank, we're going to have an election year. This is going to be a terrible year. No, it's not. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that ye may be able to stand strong. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord is with you. God's plan for the world is Matthew 28. Many people think that politics is going to fix America. How's that been working out for us? Do you know what fixes America? Jesus. This is God's plan to change the world. What America needs more of, people, is Jesus. You give people Christ. The world has changed one life at a time. Jesus changes culture. Jesus changes families. Jesus changes marriages. Jesus changes homes. Jesus changes communities. Jesus changes countries. Jesus changes the world. God's plan for the world is Matthew 28. Go tell people about me. Do you know people that love Jesus don't kill each other? Do you know that people that love Jesus don't rob or lie or steal or cheat? People that are followers of Jesus display peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. People that follow Jesus are not handcuffed in the back of police cars. What the world needs more of is Christ. This is God's plan to change the world, and there's no plan B. This is it. Does God have a calling on your life? Pastor Frank, I don't know what God's calling is in my life. Does the Bible talk about a calling that God has for me? So you're a pastor. I guess you figured out what's God's calling in my life? Does God have a call on your life? Yes or no? Here's God's calling in your life. Take notes with me. Ready? Note number 6. God's calling for your life is to follow Jesus. Write that down. This is God's calling for your life. Follow my son. See him? Follow him. All power and authority is his. Fall under his authority and follow him. God's calling for your life is to follow his son. Are you a disciple? Are you a Christian? What is that? Somebody who comes under the, recognizes the authority of one that came up out of the grave and submits to that authority. God's calling for your life, for your neighbors, for this world. Follow my son. Recognize what he did. Follow him. There's a second part. Help others follow Jesus. That's your calling. Real simple, isn't it? In April of 2024, this is God's calling in your life. Follow his son, figure him out, and help other people figure him out. That's his calling for your life. This is a really weird. It's really weird. See, I was once a them who's become an us. It's really weird to read Jesus and go, that used to be me. I was once a them and now I'm an us. I like being an us. Man, Jesus is awesome. Amen? I feel so bad. When I was a them, man, just emptiness and loneliness and shame and guilt and fear of death, I was broken and the Bible says I was lost. It's because I didn't get it. How can they live without Jesus? Right? How can they be so comfortable down here when there's so much more going on up above? Right? Maybe they just don't know. Whose job is it to tell them? You. Us. It's the church's job. In your family, you have a calling. Tell your family about Jesus. What if they don't like me, Pastor Frank? Some of them won't. I had one of my brother-in-law threw beer all over me, right? Wham! It just exploded all over the place. He was screaming, yeah! I'm like, okay. He now leads worship at his church. Praise God. They might not like me, Pastor Frank. They didn't like Jesus either. But just as best as you can, go bring Christ. Tell them about Jesus. In your family, whose job is it to tell them about Jesus? Are you a disciple? Then it's yours. Pray for opportunities. How about in your neighborhood? Your calling is to follow Jesus and help people in your community know that you love Jesus, and when they get done laughing at you, but when their marriage blows apart and their kid has an addiction and they're in the back of a cop car and you're there going, hey, then they start going, man, what's up with you? Go be light and darkness. Go be the sun. This is your calling. This is God's calling on your life. Follow his son and help other people figure out his son. That's your calling. It's an awesome calling. It's a scary calling. I've been so blessed, people, recently. So, I mean, as a young believer, when I came to faith in Christ, I ended up going and studying in Israel. I had a lot of catching up to do. As a young believer in my early 20s, I actually went to the Holy Land and studied in Israel. And I fell in love with the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. I understand the conflicts that are happening in the Middle East. I've talked with Messianic Jews, religious Jews. I've talked with Palestinian Christians and Palestinian Muslims. I mean, it's a very complex situation. I see faces of people. And when I see rockets flying, I think of people. Recently, I've been watching on YouTube, there's this Messianic Jew. The guy just warms my heart. And I'll send some of these to you. So this Messianic Jew, he's a Jewish man that accepted Messiah 5 years ago. Okay? And guess what converted him? Isaiah 53. Same thing that converted me. Rabbi Feldman, who preached here yesterday, he got converted by Isaiah 53. The prophecies of Messiah, they're undeniable. So imagine this. So there's a Jewish man right now in Galilee, and he's and there's videos of him, and he's talking to Jewish people and asking them if they've ever read Isaiah 53. And these people are reading Isaiah 53 in Hebrew. There's a beautiful one. I'll send it to you this week if you want to see it. This kid is 21 years old, and his right arm's all bandaged up. He was in a tank up on the northern border, and an anti-tank missile hit his tank. He says, if I was a little bit to the right, I'd be dead. And he's being repaired. He's in the Israeli army. And this guy meets him, and he starts talking to him, and he starts sharing Yeshua with him. That's Jesus' name, Hebrew. And in the video, he says, have you ever read this? And the guy reads Isaiah 53 for the first time. He's a young Jewish man of 21 years old who barely escaped death, tank driver in the Israeli army. And this guy's sharing with him. He says, have you ever read our Haftorah in Isaiah? And the guy's reading this for the first time. He goes, this is in our Bible. Yes. And the guy goes, does this remind you of anybody? And the guy goes, Yeshua. This is Messiah. This is Jesus. Yes. And this guy's sharing Christ with this kid. And it just warms my heart. As he's in Israel now, back in Jerusalem, he quotes, it says in Acts that it starts in Jerusalem. We're in Jerusalem. I want to tell you about Messiah. The mission's happening there. It's such a cool thing. He walks in the streets of Jerusalem, and the religious Jews start spitting at him, yelling at him, and he's like, next. It's so powerful, because what Israel needs is Jesus. What Gaza needs is Jesus. What the West Bank needs is Jesus. What Iran needs is Jesus. What Saudi Arabia needs is Jesus. What Lebanon needs is Jesus. What America needs is, who's going to tell them? You are. Who are the people that God's placed in your life? In your home? In your office? On your campus? I ask you this week, look for opportunities to share the love of Messiah. It's His last command. It should be our first concern. Until He returns. Which could be sooner than we realize. Amen? Do you like hearing this? Are you an us or a them? Well, if you're an us, then your job is to go tell them, according to Jesus. And if you're a them, hallelujah, I was once you. Seek, ask, knock. I'm so stoked you're here today. Ask. I'm reluctantly, I came to this thing kicking and screaming. It's true. And it changes everything. Amen? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room this morning. Hey, you know what, Messiah? It's only two Sundays since we celebrated your resurrection. And yet, it's not like some holiday that we celebrate twice a year or once a year. Every day, Messiah. What you did coming up out of the grave radically transforms and changes our life and how we live from the inside out. Jesus, teach us how to be your followers. Teach us, Lord, how to be who you've called us to be. Help us to act the way you want us to. Thank you for your patience. None of us are perfect. We're all on the journey. And we can't give you perfection, Jesus, but we can give you growth. And we want you to grow. Help us, God, to grow, to be more like you and less like us. Jesus, we embrace your calling in our lives today to follow you. Jesus, help us today to help other people figure out who you are. Help us to embrace your calling. Teach us this, Messiah. And send your Holy Spirit on us, because we need a lot of help doing this. This I pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all those who love Messiah would say what? Amen.